Welcome to Faith and Victory Church, an active, non-denominational Christian church in Auburn, Washington. A warm, casual environment where everyone is welcomed, with a great kids ministry, live worship music, and pastors Matt and Crystal Krichunas. Faith and Victory Church is all about the Bible and worshiping Jesus. You're invited to visit one of our services in person, Sundays at 9 and 11. But for now, thanks for joining us here for this Spirit-filled message.
Are you glad to be here?
Yes.
That's good. Hey, I just want to, this is my last chance, I'm going to get a chance to say this, is if you have not signed up for the men's retreat, you can still come. Like, just see one of the pastors after church and we'll hook you up, figure out a way to get you there. Because there's still a few slots left. We'd love to have you. It's going to be a good time. Be praying for the men of our church as they go into this retreat. It's going to be a great time, man. I'm excited about John Butcher coming up. He's going to be preaching next Sunday. Pastor John Butcher of the Building Christian Fellowship, Fairfield, California. He's one of my good friends from the Army. You guys that heard him preach on the men's event, is he good?
Awesome.
He's not better than me, though, but he's good. You know what? You would be surprised how many pastors don't think they're that good of a preacher. I myself is one of them. Like, I don't think I'm that good. And so I called Pastor John, and he was like, I'm so nervous about coming up there. I'm like, why? And he was like, man, I don't know how I can follow up your preaching. It's so awesome. It's so annoying. I just listen to you, and I'm like, why do I even preach? I'm like, bro, that's how I feel when I listen to you preach. I said, I don't want you to come because you're going to make me look bad. So he's good, man. He's totally different than me, but lace up your running shoes when you come next Sunday, because it's gonna be good, man. So I'm preaching this morning. We're good on time. Everybody's excited to be here. All right, let's pray. Father God, we love you. We praise you. We glorify you today in the powerful name of Jesus. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you that it's alive and active and sharper than any double-edged sword. God, we pray today that this word would change us, that it would correct us if need be. God, we pray that you would use it, as the word declares, as a double-edged sword, with one side being correction, the other side being comfort. God, correct us today if we need it, and comfort us today as we will need it also, God. We just offer it up to you today in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, before I start, I do want to say thank you to the people, or hello to the people that are watching online. I don't know if you guys know this, but we actually have a live streaming now for people that are gone or out of town or sick or whatever, so there they are. Hi, streaming people. And then hello to the people that are listening to the podcast later on this week. If you have your cell phones, you can turn them off, because if they go off, I'm going to embarrass you. So some of you may have seen those shirts before where I'm not afraid of people that like the front. That's where you got to be. That's where the anointing is. You guys ever seen that shirt or that T-shirt that said God's last name is not damn it? You guys ever seen that one before? You know, I always thought that was a funny shirt, because that's not his last name. Like, his last name's not damn it. There's a lot of people that use that term, and I'm not going to use it, but they use that term, or they'll use the name of Jesus Christ as a swear. You guys ever heard anybody use that before? Yeah, not you guys, but you heard of people. And, you know, that term, we like to call it, we got blasphemy. I mean, it's speaking against God. When you say those words, it's out of contempt of God and saying that he's not who he says that he is. And what happens, though, is that people seem to think that that is the only way that we blaspheme God. Like, if we don't take his name in vain, then we're good. And there's not anything else that we need to be concerned with. Well, this morning I want to talk to you about blasphemy specifically, because I think in the place that we're at in these scriptures, it really kind of lends itself to what blasphemy is and isn't. Amen. We're going to be in John chapter 10 this morning. Did I miss something?
No.
Did I say something? Is my fly open?
No.
Sometimes people...
It's just, in this week's bulletin, it's still last week.
Oh, we don't do announcements.
We don't do announcements, man.
I was just sharing.
Becky, will you turn me down just a slight bit? Just turn me down just a tiny bit. So John chapter 10, we'll be in verse 31 through 39. One time I actually got halfway through my sermon and they're in the back going. It happens. All right, John chapter 10, verse 31. It says, then the Jews took up stones again to stone him. Jesus answered them, many good works I have shown you from my Father. For which of these works do you stone me? The Jews answered him, saying, for good work we do not stone you, but for blasphemy, and because you, being a man, make yourself God. Jesus answered them, Is it not written in your law, I said, you are gods? If he called them gods to whom the word of God came, and the scripture cannot be broken, do you say of him who the Father sanctified and sent into the world, you are blaspheming because I said, I am the Son of God? If I do not do the works of my Father, do not believe me. But if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I in him. Therefore they sought again to seize him, but he escaped out of their hands. The title of today's message is Works in the Word Go Hand in Hand. So what does it say? Well, in this story, Jesus once again is being confronted by Jewish people that don't like what he's saying, and they want to stone him. And the reason why they want to stone him is because he's saying that he's God. And he admits, he says, I do good works. What are you stoning me for? And the Jews say to him, well, we don't have any problems with what you're doing specifically. we just don't like what you're saying. Like, we'll take the works, we'll take the good things that you're doing, but we have a big issue with you saying that you're God and that you're from God, and that's blasphemy. And so, yeah, we're going to take you out back and we're going to stone you. And Jesus pushes back on him and says, your own scriptures say that people are gods, little g. I'm just saying that I am the Son of God and that God is in me and I'm of God. And he says the results speak for themselves. Look at what I've done with my life. Look at the miracles that I've done. There's no mistaking the fact that I am God. Look at what I've done with my life. And then he ducks out. Get away from him. I was like that. He's like, I'm out of here, man. I'm not going to let you guys stone me. Nothing wrong with that. So let's get into this thing. Let's see what the Lord has for us. The first thing is this, blasphemy. Now, blasphemy is a form of the Greek word blasphemia. It comes from blapto, to injure, phime, to speak. Blasphemy, basically, in the most simplest of terms, is you speak something that injures God. And most people would think, well, I don't really have the ability to injure God, do I? I'm not saying you're injuring God specifically. You're injuring the things of God. So when you speak blasphemy, you speak as though to injure God or to his word or to the things that God does. Namely, we speak against God and his word. That's what blasphemy is. And these Jews felt as if what Jesus was saying about himself was injuring the image and the holiness of God. So Jesus says, I'm God. And they say, well, you're not God. That's blasphemy to say that you're God. When in essence, what they ended up doing in turn was being blasphemous by speaking against God himself and Jesus. So blasphemy is to speak injury towards God. Now, in the Old Testament, the penalty for speaking such things against God was death. Amen. Now, the good news is I'm not in charge of everything, because if it was, I'd be okay with that. Amen. God in his grace, that's not the rules anymore. But back in the 10th century, in the early church, the blasphemers of God in the early church would be beaten. So, like, if you're in part of the Christian church and you blaspheme God, you get out, taken out back, and they go to boots on you. Again, you guys are lucky that I'm not in charge of that part, because sometimes I'm like, yeah, it sounds like it'd be good for that. Also, tongues pierced. It's funny. I was like, wow, they would pierce the tongue of a blasphemer. And I thought, man, isn't it interesting that so many people choose to have their tongues pierced now? Yeah. They choose to have that done, when before that used to be a penalty for blaspheming God. They would be made to do penance, forced fasting. That, I don't know if you know what that means. That means you don't get to eat. Okay? Forced fasting means you don't get to eat. A cleric would forfeit a year's pay for blasphemy or be defrocked. So if a member of the clergy would say something or do something that wasn't right, blasphemy namely, he'd lose his pay for a year, or he'd get defrocked, he'd be kicked out. Folks, blasphemy is serious business. And in today's culture, it's not something that we really talk about a lot. You know, like, oh man, me and him, we fell out of fellowship. Why? Ah, he's a blasphemer. Right? We don't call people on it and be like, hey man, you're blaspheming God. You're speaking against him, and that's wrong. We're afraid to kind of bring that up, because we figure that blasphemy or blaspheming is just taking the name of the Lord's name in vain. But it is so much more than that. In Romans chapter 2, Paul calls some people who are being hypocritical in their judgments and actions blasphemers. It's there in Romans chapter 2, verse 24. It says, for the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles because of you. And what were they doing? They were speaking against people for things that they were doing themselves. They were being hypocrites. He was saying, being hypocritical in this sense is the same as being a blasphemer because you're speaking against God. You're saying God's word isn't powerful enough to get me to live my life right, but it should be enough to make you to live your life right, but not for me. There's a sermon in there somewhere. Amen. There's a lot of ways to blaspheme God. And people don't think about them. Luckily, I had some time this week too, so I'm going to share them with you. Amen. How do we injure God in what we speak? One of the biggest things that people say, and this isn't for us, but I want you to look outside the walls of this church, is saying he doesn't exist. That is to injure, to speak against God. People say, well, God doesn't exist. He's not real. That's blasphemy. It's speaking injury to God, to going out and trying to get people to believe that God isn't real. Psalm 14:1 says, the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. And that's what they say. There is no God. It's blasphemy. Not recognizing God as the creator. Now, many people would disagree with me, and probably some of you based on statistics. I do not believe in evolution. Evolution is blasphemy. Why is it blasphemy? Because what it is saying is God is not the creator. It's speaking injury against God. And some people say, Pastor, you're on the wrong side of science. I don't care about being on the wrong side of science. I care on being on the wrong side of the word. Okay? Because when you speak and say that God didn't create the earth, you're eroding the foundation of who he is. You're saying he's not sovereign. You're saying he's not omniscient. He's not the creator. Psalm 19:1, the heavens declare the glory of God and the firmament shows his handiwork. Denying Christ's deity. In the book of Matthew, when it talks about Jesus being crucified, it says, and those who passed by blasphemed him, wagging their heads. They said, if you are the Son of God, come down and save yourself. It's blasphemy. And there are churches today, and I'm going to call them out. I'm putting them on blast today. I usually don't speak against churches, but if they don't believe this, to me, I'm like, are you a church? The Presbyterian Church USA, PCUSA, people are leaving this denomination in droves, as well they should. They took a poll of their clergy, and 40% of them didn't believe in the deity of Christ. How do you not believe in the deity of Christ? How can you be a member of a Christian church and not believe in the deity of Christ? But it's what people do. Oh, Jesus was a nice man. He had nice things to say. He was a good moral teacher. But they deny the deity. They deny the fact that he was Christ, that he was the Son of God, that he was God in the flesh. If you speak against Christ's deity, that's blasphemy. Denying Christ's miracles, it's blasphemy. It says, oh, well, those people were superstitious. You know, it wasn't really, you know, there was a storm that day and that's why the Red Sea was parted. Or, you know, it was out of people's generosity that they gave fish and the loaves that they had in their back pockets out in the middle of nowhere. It wasn't that God actually did a miracle in that place. They thought Jesus was walking on water because it was a real shallow part of the sea and he was actually just walking on dirt. It's denying that God is who he says that he is. And when you speak against it, you're injuring God. Injured to speak. Denying his resurrection. It's blasphemy. Christians believe that Jesus died and came back from the dead and lives forevermore. And if you speak against that, you're speaking against the things of God. You're injuring him. To say that he didn't raise from the grave and he's in, that he's not, excuse me, to say that he didn't die and come back and that he's still in a grave is blasphemy. Denying the Holy Spirit and his work is blasphemy. Matthew 12:31, therefore I say to you, every sin and blasphemy will be forgiven men, but the blasphemy against the Spirit will not be forgiven men. I don't have time to go into great lengths about what that means, but I'll tell you what I think it means. Is that a lot of people say it's the work of the Holy Spirit, and it is, but it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ is God and believe that he's the Holy Spirit, regeneration can happen. And if regeneration can't happen and you don't believe that he can forgive you for your sins, there's nothing else that he has for you. That isn't going to be forgiven. How can you be forgiven of not believing that Christ is the forgiver? You can't. It's impossible. It's where it all begins and ends. Not believing in the doctrine of God. 1 Timothy 6:1, let as many bond servants that are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and his doctrine may not be blasphemed. When we live according to God's word, it's not for our benefit, it's for his. Now, do we get benefits from it? Yes, bless God. He keeps us inside of the lines. But the way in which we live can blaspheme God if we don't stick to the doctrine of God. Man, this is some good preaching. You guys liking this? Now, let me make it stop. Give us the sugar. Listen, man, it's a two-edged sword. It's a two-edged sword. Not believing the Bible is the inspired word of God. 2 Timothy 3:16, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Do you know how many Christians I know that get upset when people tell them what the Bible says about what's going on in their lives?
Yeah.
Why you got to be so judgmental? Can't you just listen to me? Well, according to the word, it's good for reproof and correction.
Yeah.
The reason why your life is in the pits is because you're not living according to God's word.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let me help you out, friend. Let me help you with what you're missing here.
Yeah.
It's blasphemy to speak against God's church or discounting it as useless. A lot of people think that church is outdated. Well, I just worship God from home. I don't believe in organized religion. Well, sorry, God does.
Yeah. Amen.
God seems to like his church because the Bible says that one day he's coming back for his church, a community, a called out community of believers, the bride of Christ. And I'm not just saying us. I'm saying all churches that believe in Jesus Christ as Lord. All of those blasphemies may be forgiven except for the one, a blasphemy against the Holy Spirit, to believe that the Holy Spirit isn't who he is and he can't do what he says that he can do. But here's part of it. Jesus wasn't a blasphemer. He was God in the flesh. He was the Messiah. It was the guys that were denying it that were actually the blasphemers. They were calling out against God and in turn they were becoming what they had detested. They said, you're not of God. And they didn't realize, we just blasphemed God. Well, why is this important? Well, basically, the problem here is that these guys didn't have any problem with what Jesus was doing. It was with what he was saying.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no problem, Jesus. Keep healing. Keep doing miracles. That's fine. Just don't say that they are of God or that you come from God, because then we have problems. Verse 33, then the Jews answered him saying, for a good work we don't stone you.
Yeah.
No, we're not stoning you for those good works, Jesus, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, make yourself God. Their problem was that Jesus was saying that he was God, and that's what they railed on him for. Keep giving us your blessings, Mr. Jesus. Keep making our lives better. Keep healing. But we're not going to declare that you are Messiah or God, because then that would require us to actually follow what you say and receive you as Lord.
Amen.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
It's no different than today. Everybody loves the blessings of Jesus, man.
Yeah.
They will let you pray for them and bless them and do things for them as long as it doesn't necessitate them actually changing anything about their lives or having to actually recognize that they have to answer to God for their lives.
Uh-huh.
Sound familiar?
Yeah.
It's interesting. I thought to myself, how many times have people put on, say amen if you're on Facebook.
Amen.
Yeah, yeah. And people put the thing on Facebook, surgery tomorrow, thoughts and prayers appreciated. Folks, your thoughts do nothing. You sitting around thinking about somebody getting cut open is not going to change anything. Nothing. It's weird. I'm just going to think about you getting cut tomorrow.
Good thoughts.
The only thing that's going to change in their lives is prayer.
Yeah.
Believing that the manifest presence of God is going to fall into that room, heal them faster, be with the doctors, do those things. I, Matt, can do nothing.
Yeah.
I can do nothing.
Yeah, that's right.
My thoughts, I'm going to be busy driving. I don't have time to give you my thoughts. I got work to do. I'm not going to give you my thoughts. I will ask God to come and heal you. I'll ask God to do stuff, but my thoughts are worthless. And I thought about that. And I thought, you know, what if next time one of these pagan dog sinners asked me to pray for them and I said, do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you want to live for him? Because you just want his blessings. You don't want to actually believe that he's God. Now, I'm not saying to do that. Okay, don't do that. Because I think prayer is a great outreach. You know what I mean? We're not supposed to withhold the prayers, and we pray for the sinner and saint alike. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, what would it be like if all of a sudden you're like, oh, I'll pray for you. Do you believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Do you believe he died on your sins on Calvary and rose on the third day? Because that's what these guys are saying. We just want the good stuff, man. We don't want to actually have to agree that he is the Son of God. Jesus' response, verse 38, but if I do, though you do not believe me, believe the works. I love that. He said, that's fine. Don't believe me. Believe in the works. Don't believe me. Just believe in the works. But that you may know and believe that the Father is in me and I am in him. He says, I'm doing these works so that you will believe that I'm God. I'm trying to show you something. Jesus says, I am what I do, and I am what I am. I didn't mean to put that in there. You can't, this is what Jesus is saying, you can't agree with what I do without agreeing with what I am. Do you hear that? You can't agree with what I do without agreeing with who I am. If you agree with what I do, you're agreeing with what I am, the Son of God. You can't have the works without the Word. Yeah, right. Amen. Namely, the Word of God incarnate. Yeah. You can't have blessings without the Bible. Mm-hmm. They go hand in hand with each other. Yeah. Which also means you can't have the Word without the works of the Savior. Yeah. The two of them work together in concert. See, what happens in Christianity is that there's some people that live on one end of the spectrum where it's all works. You know, anything that even remotely seems works, that's what we're doing, man. Let's go crazy for it. And when I say works, I'm not talking about like, you know, charity and cleaning the church. And I'm not talking about those type of works. I'm talking about the manifest supernatural presence of God. Okay? The crazy stuff, the fun stuff. Some people want to live on the crazy fun stuff and forget what the Word says about it. And they want to justify the craziness, not in light of the Word, and say, well, the ends justify the means. This is where you get people that do stuff like roar in the spirit and stuff like that. And, you know, it's just not in the Bible. Okay? It's not in the Bible. Now, the other end of the spectrum is some people that get so word focused, they forget, like, we serve a supernatural God that wants to do supernatural things so that people be drawn into his presence. Yeah. Yes. They end up worshiping the book instead of the Savior. You get so caught up in the Word, they seem to forget. Like, God does do weird stuff, but it's the weird stuff that's in the Bible.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. In the middle. You can't have one without the other.
Amen.
It's like the peanut butter cups, right? Chocolate and peanut butter. Two great tastes that taste great together.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Remember those old commercials when the guy would be up in the thing and he'd drop his chocolate bar down and I was sitting in a movie eating a thing of peanut butter? Who does that? Does anybody remember that commercial? Please. Good. You guys look like, what are you talking about? Like, you got your chocolate in my peanut butter. Anyway, back to the Word. Thanks. Let's get back to this thing. Jesus makes sure that these guys know who I am and what I do go hand in hand. You can't have one without the other. It's like saying that you can go swimming without getting wet or hiking without getting dirty. Go to a sports event without people screaming. People don't want to face the reality of what it is to serve and know God. Yeah. And part of what we believe here at Faith and Victory and what we're trying to do is create a church that actually believes in the manifest presence of God.
Yeah.
More than just lip service, we're actually experiencing the best that God has for us. Amen. Words prove miracles. Yeah. Miracles prove the words.
Yeah.
Jesus would go in and he would perform miracles as a means to be able to draw people into a conversation about who and what God was. The miracles drew a crowd.
Yeah.
And then he would preach, and then people would come to know God, and they would go through the kingdom. So what does it mean to you? The first thing it means to you is this. Don't be a blasphemer.
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Don't be a blasphemer.
Amen.
And this isn't a sin that people in the church talk about much. See, a lot of people, Americans, we see arguing with God or his word as our right as Americans. Like, we're a very argumentative culture.
Sure.
Yeah. We challenge people on what they think and what they believe. And so in a church setting, we just figure like, well, you know, I sit around and rail on politicians all day. Well, I'm just going to argue with God and his word all day because, you know, it's about me anyway. So, you know, just figure it out. I can just find a way to paint Jesus into a little corner, then I can really get some stuff done around here. Amen. Folks, blasphemy is a sin of the highest order in that we do not make God the most important beginning and end of all things in our lives. That's what blasphemy does. It puts ourselves on the throne. It says, God, you're not God. What you say, what you do, it doesn't matter. I'm going to do whatever I want, whenever I want, and I'm going to look for your stamp of approval on it. Yeah. Woe be to those. Yeah. Amen.
Yeah. Yeah.
The way we live our lives in line with his word is so that God won't be blasphemed.
Yes.
It's not out of fear. Some people are going to come out of this like, oh man, we're fear-based, and you're saying I got to do it. I'm not going to make heaven. Dude, you're making heaven, man. Amen. If you receive Christ as Savior, sealed, signs healed, gone,
Amen.
Boom, done. Okay? But the word makes it clear that we are supposed to live our lives in a way that our lives reflect the goodness of God, not speak as if to injure him. Because the way in which we live our lives, if we live them in a way that doesn't line up with his word, we can actually be hurting God by the way we live our lives. There's a lot of people that don't serve God because of the way that Christians have treated them. There's a lot of people that won't come to church because Christians have mistreated them. And then people say, well, it doesn't matter. I live my life. I'm going to heaven. Well, maybe you'll keep someone else out by the way that you live your life. Because they look at your life and they say, well, man, God must not be real because he sure wasn't able to change anything about your life. Titus 2:4, that they may admonish the young women to love their husbands, to love their children, to be discreet, chaste, homemakers, good, obedient to their husbands, that the word of God may not be blasphemed. When God asks us to do stuff, it's not for any other reason except for we just want to make him look good. I will tell you, there are things that I want to do that are not in line with the Bible. And the reason why I don't do them is because I don't want to make God look bad. For no other reason. I just don't want to shame him. I don't want to make him seem as though he's not who he is. And through the power of the Holy Spirit, he enables me to be able to live a life that way. Now, in the old church, anyone blaspheming the name of Christ or expressing contempt of the Trinity had his head shaved and was subjected to 100 stripes. Again, we're not doing that at Faith and Victory. Suffered perpetual imprisonment in chains. Or they may have had their hands tied behind their back and forced to stand at the door of the church for a week so everyone could see them. I wonder what it would be like on Sunday morning. We had all the blasphemers lined up out here. And bad week, man. Pray for me. Now, bless God, we're not going to be doing this at Faith and Victory, okay? And everybody said, some of y'all didn't say amen because you're with me. You're like, I kind of see some value in that. See some value in that? I'll tell you, the first week, people were like, Dad, I'm blaspheming God. I got stuff to do this week. I can't go down there and hang out. Just driving by honking. Dung, dung. But we should watch what we say about God,
yeah.
His word, his church, his people.
Yes.
I don't want to end up like Hymenaeus and Alexander in 1 Timothy 1:20. Whom I delivered to Satan that they may learn to not blaspheme. I don't want that to be the story of my life. I don't want to have to be put in the hands of Satan to learn to not blaspheme. It sure would be better if I could learn that now. Before I had to be delivered in the hands of Satan to learn to not blaspheme. Not exactly sure what that would look like, but it doesn't sound like something I want to sign up for. Folks, when we are speaking against the things of God, we are speaking against God. Do you hear that?
Yeah.
That's why I'm very careful in what I say against other ministries, other ministers, other churches. Because there's people out there that are doing things. Now, if you're wrong, you're wrong. But there's some people that are just kind of like, it's not my cup of tea. I would say they make good coffee. It's just not my flavor.
Yeah.
It's just not my flavor. They're going to answer to God for what they're doing. It's fine. But I'm not going to speak against God. I'm not going to speak against his church. There may be things about God that you do not understand or you are not ready for, but do not go so far as to speak against them. Do you hear me? There may be things of God that you do not currently understand or you're not really ready for, but don't go so far as to speak against them. Great example. I'll use this morning. Speaking in tongues. Speaking in tongues is one of those things that splits churches. Right? Because people get weirded out about it. And it is. It's weird. So is walking on water. So is coming back from the dead. So a split in the sea, making a donkey talk, having birds fly in with oil. Like, All these stuff, it's weird, man. Don't try to pretend that speaking in tongues is the only weird thing in the Bible. You kidding me? We believe a guy that was born of a virgin, raised from the dead, and died for our sins, and you have a problem believing that the Holy Spirit can't speak through somebody in an unintelligible tongue that you don't know?
Yeah, come on.
Come on now.
Come on, man.
Read your Bibles, folks.
Yeah.
1 Corinthians chapters 12, 13, and 14. Isn't like one obscure verse. There's verses,
yeah,
chapters, many that talk about spiritual gifts. Read the book of Acts. Now, I'm going to read you this. This is from the Bible. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, here's what people always want to... We only know who God is because of the Bible, and if we don't, we're serving a made-up God.
Yeah, come on.
1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to read you this, and then I want you to tell me that crazy gifts aren't for the church. Go ahead, if you want to argue with the word. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. So he's teaching this so we won't be stupid. Verse 2. You know that you were Gentiles carried away to those dumb idols, these dumb idols. However, you were led. Therefore, I make known to you that no one speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed, and no one can say that Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Stop there for a sec. Don't look at the screen. Look at me. That part there, people will say, well, if I can say Jesus is Lord, then it's of the Holy Spirit. No, you say it in faith by the Holy Spirit to actually believe that Jesus is, in fact, Lord. Verse 4. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. The manifestation of Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. Means that God, if you believe in Jesus, you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord, the Holy Spirit dwells inside of you, and God has a gift in you, a Holy Spirit gift, that is going to be used for the profit of all. Verse 8, for one is given the word of wisdom through the Spirit, to another the word of knowledge through the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healings by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another, different kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one as he individually wills. How can people say that the gifts of the Spirit are not for today?
They
want to rip pages out of the Bible.
Yeah.
Talk about dispensations and all this other nonsense. Man, I am a simple man. I just read it and believe it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'm not going to argue with it. I'm just going to let it be what it is.
Amen.
And if you're not ready for that, if you're not ready for a miracle, that's fine. You don't have to get one. It's fine. If you're not ready for God to, by the Holy Spirit, give somebody a word of knowledge to come up to speak to you, a due season word right then and there that's going to direct you for the next step in your life, don't believe it. If you don't believe that through being baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in other tongues that you can experience a new way of life and living, then don't believe it, man. But do not make the mistake of speaking against it and saying that it's not of God. Because that causes injury to God and his word. You're putting yourself on the throne. Live in the world of I don't know. Live in the world of God is God. Live in the world of I'm just going to keep my mouth shut about that one because it just kind of freaks me out. But don't go so far as to speak against God. Don't do that. That's blasphemy. But it's not just spiritual gifts. It's forgiveness.
Yeah.
Don't be a person that says, God can't forgive that person.
Yeah, come on.
I'm not going to forgive that person. That's blasphemy. You're saying God isn't God.
Right.
I don't believe in giving. I don't believe in loving, serving, growing. All those things are things that God wants of us.
Yeah.
He wants us to grow. He wants us to give. He wants us to serve. He wants us to love. All those things. And if you speak against it, you're speaking against God himself. Because
yeah.
Here's the deal. Man, I'm getting worked up. Here we go. Here's the deal. It's works and word together. For the Christian, everything we do is filtered through the word of God. And if it's not in there, we're not going to sign off on it. Yes, there are things that we do that aren't in the Bible, but they aren't against the Bible. Okay? There's no LED lights in the Bible. There's no television screens in the Bible. But we're not putting these in the place of God or speaking against God with these things or trying to create injury towards God by being able to see clear words and not look at a blank wall. Okay? You paint the walls in your own house. Why can't we paint the walls in God's house? You know what I mean? Don't get it twisted. What I'm saying is that we have to use them both together. Works and the word, they go hand in hand. When you speak the word, works will follow. The works confirm it. Here's what happens. People become so word-focused, they stop being works-focused. And when I say works, it's miracles, demonstrative manifestations of God's present work. Folks, I don't want to be a modern-day Pharisee that lives with my nose in a book, forgetting that there is also power that God is trying to imbue into his people for works of ministry.
Yes, amen.
I don't want to become that, because that's what happens to a lot of people. I also don't want to become a guy that's so focused on works that I forget that the word of God is the guide to keep me inside the lines. They go hand in hand.
Yeah.
Jesus challenges these guys. He says, listen, man, you can't have one without the other. They work in concert to prove that I am who I say that I am God. Let me show you this in 1 Corinthians 12:27. I know you're still there. He says, now you are the body of Christ and members individually. And God has appointed these in the church. First apostles, second prophets, third teachers. After that, miracles, then gifts of healings, helps, administrations, varieties of tongues. Are all prophets? Are all apostles? Excuse me. Are all apostles? Are all prophets? Are all teachers? Are all workers of miracles? Do all have gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? But earnestly desire the best gifts, and I will show you the most excellent way. You know, it's interesting in today's church. You know, we put people in the office of pastor. When's the last time we put somebody in the office of miracles? Right? This is our miracle minister here. Pastor Miracle. I want that guy at my church. Amen? Bring him, man. I need a miracle. I want him every single day. Folks, God's desire is that we would experience the manifest presence of him in our lives. And we as a bunch of, you know, well-fed Americans, we don't live in a desperation of God's presence every single day. You know? We live protected lives that we don't have to worry about, man. What are we going to do when? Or when is God going to do that? We don't put ourselves in positions where we actually have to see God move.
Yeah.
We don't want to go where our faith is without borders.
Yeah.
Out in the deeper waters where his grace abounds.
Yeah.
We want to live in a comfortable life. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous and you'll have good success. Amen. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Can't become so works focused, we forget to be word focused. Man, you've got to know this Bible. You've got to know it. You've got to read it. So that way when some false prophet comes up to you and tells you something, you can think, that's not of God. Like I can tell you with about 99.9% accuracy if something is of God or not of God.
Yeah.
And the reason why is because I know what his word says. Yeah. And I'm not putting myself in the position of God. I'm just putting myself in a person that can read left to right, top to bottom, yeah, group of words forms a sentence.
Yeah.
What most of us learned while we were in school. Amen?
Yeah.
Don't be a blasphemer. Believe in God's word and works. And here's what you will get. Last point, and then we're going to get out of here. You will be grounded in God's word. This is so important, folks. We are people of the book. We need to know what God's word says. We need to ingest this thing. We need to read some of it on a daily basis. Get it inside of us so that we know, so that we will not be led astray. And then you just begin to experience God's blessings in your life. This sense of like, man, I know God. I know what he's doing in my life. I know what he has for me. And then you begin to experience his presence. Man, I love the presence of God. I love to just feel his presence. Just like, oh, Jesus, I love to just, when you really know he's there, man, and you just feel this presence in your life, it's the best feeling in the world.
Yes,
see, I don't subscribe to this measure of Christianity where we just kind of go through the motions. It is an utter and complete waste of my time to come down here and talk to a bunch of dead people singing a bunch of dead songs in a dead church that we don't even experience who God is. It's a waste of time, man. I've got a lot better things to do with my life. I could be out there making millions of dollars on my jet ski. You know what I'm saying? I don't have a jet ski, just for you know. But I would if I was making millions. And you won't be pulled in a wrong spiritual direction. You'll actually be living with the fullness of who and what God is and what he wants for your life. Amen? Amen. Would you close your eyes? Would you bow your heads? you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus, I'm going to give you an opportunity to give your life to him. And you don't have to know anything else except to know that your life is not where it needs to be. You've been trying to earn your way to heaven on your own. God has made provision for you to make to heaven. All you got to do is believe in Christ as Lord. Allow him to forgive you of your sins and you'll live forever with him. Turn away from the world. Turn towards him. And I believe that when you make that decision, the Holy Spirit is real enough to tell you everything that you need to know.
Yeah.
All you have to do is admit it. Just admit. Say, man, I need a Savior in my life. I need a Savior in my life.
Yes.
And if you've never done that before, and I'm not talking about rededicating. I'm just saying you've never done that before. Today's the day that you want to do that. Would you just raise your hand? I want to pray for you. Is there anybody here that needs to do that today? Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Anybody else? He's going to become real to you. Not on your strength, on his strength. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, even as I worked on this sermon this week, I realized that there's times that I've blasphemed God. Things I've spoken against him, his church, his word, his actions. And I had to repent of it. I had to say, you know what, God, I'm sorry. I don't want to do that. I only want to speak things that are going to build you up because you're a mighty God. So I just want to give you a moment if there's something you need to speak to God and say, God, man, I'm sorry. Forgive me of that. I'm not going to do that anymore. I'm just going to say I don't know. I'm just going to keep my mouth shut. Father, we love you this morning. And we thank you that you are a God of works and word. We thank you that your works show us about who you are to lead us to who you are in your word. We declare today that you are God. We declare today that you are our Savior. God, we thank you for your presence in our lives in a way that's so real and alive. God, we pray today that as we go from this place, that you'll change our hearts, God, that you'll change our minds. Father, help our lives to line up with your word. Father, we praise you, we thank you, we glorify you today, God, in the powerful name of Jesus. And all God's people said,
amen.
Amen.